And he himself believed in his whole house. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sacred tradition, the passing on of the tradition, is a holy thing. And it's holy because what is passed on is holy. And what is this thing that we pass on in tradition? First, it is the deposit of faith. And in the deposit of faith, we have the teachings of God about himself, about the church, about man, and about creation. And since the deposit of faith contains all those things necessary for our salvation, it also includes the moral code, both which contains knowledge of the natural law and of the divine positive law. The deposit of faith also includes the sacraments, because Christ left us with the sacraments, including holy orders, which is one of the principal means of tradition. For it is by holy orders that the sacraments are passed from generation to generation. Hierarchic constitution of the church is also part of the tradition, that is part of the deposit of faith. And this includes the offices of the magisterium, the power to bless, to exercise, and things of this sort are also part of those things left to us, things such as discernment of the spirits, which are usually part of the offices of the magisterium as to those things to which they must pass judgment on, but also it is, the discernment of spirits is also a gift which can be given aside. These things are passed on from generation to generation by the passing on of the offices of the magisterium. And those are the things that are necessary for our salvation. But outside of that, there are also things which are required of us to believe. The definition of the first 20 ecumenical councils and the definitions of the popes are required for us to accept by what we call passive tradition. That is, we have to accept them if we're going to be Catholic. But also, these are the things that are passed to us. That is, they're taught to us. The 21st Council, Vatican II, did not define anything. As Paul VI says, nothing extraordinary happened here. That was on the closing session. And that's technical language for saying there was no employment of infallibility because there was no intention to define anything at the Second Vatican Council. That doesn't mean you can just reject it entirely because there are things contained in it which are part of the deposit of faith. But, on the other hand, people have to be careful not to treat it the same way as the other prior councils. There are the teaching of the patristics, such as St. Augustine, St. Cyril, and St. Jerome, and all of them. And if the patristics are unanimous on a particular topic, that teaching is infallible. And these things are passed on to us. They're part of our patrimony. There is the teaching of the theologians, and by this we mean those theologians who were part of the schools of theology during the medieval period from 1100 to 1750, if they're unanimous in a particular topic, then in point and fact, it is infallible, according to Pius IX in his document Tuus Libenter. And therefore, those things which were unanimous among the theologians is also part of our patrimony. But even of those things which are not infallible, as to their cause, nevertheless, they are quite important for us to accept. And here we have in mind particularly the writings of people such as St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Alphonsus Liguori, the saints such as these, St. Robert Bellarmine. These saints have a particular prime importance in the life of the Church. Their writings and teachings are our patrimony. There are also things which, though not infallible too, are also important. And this is not just the writings of the saints which I mentioned, but the writings of the saints throughout history, all of them. And yet most of them are available or accessible to a person of knowledge. But many of them are becoming more and more available to somebody who doesn't have, say, the historical background or doesn't have the language background. They can still have access to these. And these, again, are our patrimony. The documents of the Church and encyclicals and the preachings of the popes throughout history are part of our patrimony. And when we want to know what the Church believes, we can go back to these things to see what does the Church believe. Then there are monuments. The monuments are those things which in some way come from the created hand either supernaturally, such as in the case of the Rosary with Our Lady to St. Dominic, or monuments which are built by just mere humans. That is, there's no supernatural agency in the human beings that cause them, but even though God may be given them the grace, the church in which you are sitting is a monument. The statues, the stations of the cross, the altar, all of these things are monuments. They are things which are created by human hands to express the faith or teachings of the faith, and we can learn a lot about them. And these things are passed on to us from generation to generation. Vestments, chalices, and altar appointments, all kinds of statuary, that is Christian art, both in churches here or even at your home, are actually part of the monumental tradition. The catechisms of the church and prayer manuals are part of the monumental patrimony of the church. Parents have an obligation to be part of the tradition insofar as they have an obligation to teach their children the faith and the prayers that every Christian should know, such as the Creed, Our Father, Hail Mary, etc. These things they have an obligation to pass on to their children. And so there are certain aspects of the tradition to which we are not at liberty morally to choose that we're not going to pass on. And that applies not only to us, that is, those of us who are not part of the magisterium, but also to those who are part of the magisterium. Christ said, go and teach all nations what I have commanded you. That means what I have commanded you, that is, go teach the deposit of faith, enact the tradition. He was commissioning them to begin the tradition and to pass it on. That is their obligation. Devotions, such as the Rosary, Stations of the Cross, and the various novenas and litanies, these are part of the monumental tradition. Monasteries and religious orders are part of the monumental tradition. I have told one monastery, you cannot think short term. You cannot think here and now. You must think in terms of what you are passing to the subsequent generations. Because 7 generations from now, providing our Lord doesn't return, 7 generations from now, what you pass on to them, the tradition that you pass to them, will affect their very lives. The economic patrimony of a diocese and a religious order is a quasi-monument. And by this we mean that while money is not sacred, obviously, the alms and support of the pastors is. And so that pastors make right use of the money, since it is passed from one generation to the next, if it is handled right, and if it is put into the building of monuments, then it becomes a part of the tradition. So that in point in fact, one of the principal means by which the faithful help the church in its tradition is to provide for the material element in it. In other words, to provide so that materially it can be preserved and maintained, such as the buildings and the various statuary and things of this sort. Things which enter into and become part of the sacred patrimony of the church, such as these buildings which we pay for, is then passed on and becomes part of the monumental tradition. What you give now redounds into generations as they inherit the monuments built by your donations. We also have vast theological libraries that we can go to see our patrimony. Each family should have its own library based upon their means. And the books which they have in their library are a means by which they reclaim their inheritance. The deposit of faith, the teachings of the church, this whole patrimony, this whole tradition is yours. It's there for the taking. And one of the ways that you do that is by getting the books which contain that tradition or which are part of that tradition. Things that contain the knowledge of the faith or devotions and things of this sort. The monuments have even passed into electronic form and are very often available for use in that way. The liturgical rites, such as the ancient rite of Mass and the other sacraments, as well as the rituals, contain blessings and prayers of exorcism composed by saints in earlier centuries of the Church. These liturgical rites are our inheritance. That is, they're our patrimony. Even the ancient ruins are monuments because they tell us about the early Church, the faith that it had and its continuity, that same faith from generation to generation. All of these things, the family has an important role. Each family should enact tradition, since it, on the concrete level, that's usually where it takes place. While it is true that the magisterium is the official organ of transmission of the tradition, nevertheless, in the concrete, the faith is very often passed on by the parents. How to pray is passed on by the parents. Which mass they attend is passed on by the parents. And so this is something in which the parents can help their children to become disposed to receiving that patrimony, because if children become morally corrupt, they reject their patrimony. But parents can help them to lead good and holy lives when they are younger, pray for them when they are older, so that they will embrace this patrimony which is theirs. The depth and richness of the Catholic tradition is not rivaled by any other institution, society, or culture. The magnificence of its tradition is a testimony to the divine constitution of the Church. And the tradition is there. The patrimony is yours. It's there for the taking. It's right in front of you. But it's hard to see if you don't know anything about it. And that's why Catholics must continue educating themselves according to their state in life, so that they can, in fact, continue to receive the tradition and therefore pass it on to their children and become part of the active tradition. And if one knows it and embraces it, it becomes an unending source of joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.